First Timothy. We'll be in First Timothy. After 11 years, I am free from the microphone. I don't have to stand here anchored to that dumb microphone. And I hate lapel mics. I hate them. So finally, I think we got something good that's going to work. 1 Timothy, we're in chapter 4. What I love about expository preaching, which is going through a book of the Bible, preaching through it verse by verse, is that when we come to these passages, they're a little bit awkward. It's where we're at. And this is an awkward passage for me. This really should be a passage that's preached on by someone who's not the pastor. It's a little bit self-serving, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. But certainly it is dealing a lot with the reality of pastoral ministry, as Paul is encouraging Timothy. It's very personal here. And dealing with these things as a pastor, these are the things you're going to have to deal with. And it's always interesting. It's interesting the expectations that churches have of pastors. It's interesting when a church is preparing to call a new pastor, what their expectations are. They expect and they want a pastor who is an amazing communicator, who has wonderful deep counsel and experience, well-versed in all the languages, knows all of that stuff, been around the block, has all this experience. And they want, in that case, an old man. But on the other hand, they want the exuberance and they want the longevity and they want the family dimensions of a young man. They want someone who has little kids or has younger kids, or they want someone that's going to be around for 30 years. They want both, right? They want the best of both worlds often. And it's just interesting the different expectations people have of what they're calling. And certainly none of those expectations have anything to do with the qualifications that we had just looked at. As Timothy goes through, like, here are the qualifications of what it means to be an elder, what it means to be a leader in a church. It's not every church, but it's often, right? Often you see that within churches and that contrast. Sometimes churches want a pastor who is just personally invested in the spiritual well-being of every single person that's ever entered the door. And yet often these expectations, they do not hold themselves to. And so we see Paul encouraging Timothy here, dealing with the reality of pastoral ministry, dealing with things that is never talked about in Bible school or seminary or any of those things, because this is rubber meets the road. And yes, this is directed at a pastor. And yes, this is intended, this is a message for a pastor personally. But I think as a church, as we go through this, certainly we can, it's good things to consider. And I think we do need to consider this question, how do I encourage my pastor? Right? How do I encourage my pastor? So we're going to deal with this reality of pastoral ministry. And we'll start with the expectations, the reality of unfair expectations. The reality of unfair expectations. Verse 12 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." I've heard this saying, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, and I'm not sure it's applicable in every situation. But it's the expectations are predetermined resentments. Expectations are predetermined resentments or disappointments or offenses, whatever the case may be. And I understand we live in this world. We live, right? We all have expectations. We all do different things. And some people try to add on their unspoken expectations. I don't think it really matters whether they're spoken or not. Right, and so that is certainly life, and that's dealing with life and dealing with our expectations and other people's expectations. But here we see these expectations as it deals with a pastor. And as we think of Timothy, Timothy was an interim pastor. Right? He was not the pastor of the church at Ephesus to be there and to serve for however long, right, until something happened. No, he was just there for a short time. Paul had called, left him there. Timothy, here's the ministry. You'll be doing this until I come back. Right? He was the interim pastor. And often churches do that between pastors. Their pastor leaves, they'll call an interim pastor. And the interim pastor does the dirty work. The interim pastor comes in, deals with bad leaders, deals with a flock that's out of control, deals with whatever issues the church is having to wrap their hand around. Maybe they need healing, right? Maybe they've had an awful pastor and they're just need for healing. The interim pastor often will come, help deal with those things, help solidify that, and then he leaves because he's just there to prepare for the next pastor. That's Timothy's ministry here. He's the interim pastor. And so I'm sure there were people that were not happy. They were not happy. There were people who were disappointed. There were people who were angry. There were people who felt like their toes had been stepped on. I'm sure there were elders in that church. They were like, Paul, what are you doing? We are more than capable of taking care of ourselves. Why are you leaving Timothy here? Why are you leaving this young man here? We don't want him. Paul's like, doesn't matter. He's in charge. You listen to him. Right? He's going to deal with whatever needs to be dealt with. And so, right, that's the situation Timothy is left in. And so he's having to deal with these things. And so Paul's just trying to encourage him. And so as Paul says here, like, no one despise your youth. And so Timothy at this point is around 35 years old. We're 15 years down the road from when Paul first met Timothy and took him on that second missionary journey. If Timothy was around 20 at that time, then he's around 35 at this time. He's been in ministry for 15 years. He's not like new to this. And Paul has had him, he's been in Corinth, he was pastoring at Corinth, he's pastored in different places, he's been with Paul. So it's not like experience-wise he was lacking. And yet there were those within the church that are like, hey, this guy's young. What is he doing here? And so they despise his youth. They have these expectations, unrealistic expectations, unfair expectations. So Paul is talking to Timothy and says, this is how you deal with this. Right? Don't be discouraged. Don't let them despise your youth. So it's not like Timothy has to defend himself. That's not what Paul's asking him to do here. It's not like Paul can or Timothy can go and tell them, stop this. This isn't right. Paul's not asking him to do that. You cannot control other people's expectations. You can't control what people think of you. And so Paul, in this thought of just despise, this thought of don't let them despise, this is Timothy's response. How is Timothy going to respond to these things? People are saying this and people are not respecting him as they should. And so Paul tells Timothy, this is how you need to handle this. Be an example. Right? Be an example. Be an example to the believers. Don't respond in kind. Don't get defensive. This is how you need to respond to these expectations. Be an example. And so just kind of this thought of earning certainly their respect, showing them this is how I'm going to act, this is how I'm going to lead, and letting them respond as they would. And so Paul says here, like this example, he says, in word. In word. He's not talking about the word of God here. He's talking about Timothy's speech, what comes out of his mouth, how he communicates. So he's like, Timothy, just like be an example of how you speak, how you communicate to people. The words that come out of your mouth, are they consistent? Are you talking about other people behind other people's backs? Is there words that shouldn't be coming out of your mouth coming out of your mouth? Is the words that you're speaking to people, are they encouraging? Are you setting that tone within the body, within the flock? Are you setting that example? And then he talks about conduct, which is just that manner of living. That's be having discipline in our life. That's character, integrity. He says, be that man of character with your conduct. Live that out. So yes, there's unfair expectations, but you set the example. And then Paul says love. And certainly we think of that love, that self-sacrifice love of others, even those who or being disrespectful and hateful at times, love them, right? Set the example. But the sacrificial love as he gives himself to the church, as he ministers to the church. And he says they're in spirit. And I understand that's not in every translation, that in spirit. That's a whole nother side topic. I won't go down that rabbit trail this morning. But as I think of that thought of in the Spirit, I think of the fruits of the Spirit. And I think of that thought of what are we feeding? Are we feeding the flesh or are we feeding the Spirit? And so he's telling Timothy here, as you're living your life here, as you're ministering, certainly invest in those things that are spiritual. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. This is the passage dealing with this thought of a spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, a few books to the left. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Right? And that's the whole point. That's the main thrust of this whole passage, is what are we feeding? What are we looking after? What is it we're investing in? Is it the flesh or is it the Spirit? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revileries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So I think, as back in 1 Timothy, back in this thought of Spirit and walking in the Spirit, this is what he's encouraging Timothy as a pastor there to walk in this way, walk in the Spirit, manifest those fruits of the Spirit as an example to the church. And then he says faith, right? Be an example of faith. And that thought is faithfulness. Faithful in ministry, steady in ministry, that thought. And then last of all, he says purity. Purity. Certainly purity of heart, purity and love for Christ. This word is only used in this letter. This word for purity. It's not used anywhere else in the New Testament. Paul just uses it here in context of Timothy. We'll see this word again next week as we get into chapter 5. But it means to be morally pure, to be sexually pure. That's the thought there. And certainly we can think of a lot of pastors and ministry that have failed miserably at this point. And so just encouraging Timothy, certainly Timothy, it seems he was a single man. He was here, and we'll deal with this more next week in that thought, because Paul's going to go down that thought as he is to minister to different groups of people within the church. And just this thought of purity within the midst of those relationships and being careful within that. And so he says, be an example of what it means to be a man who of purity, of integrity, of character. And as Paul says there, till I come. Right, till I come. We know Paul went to Macedonia. He was planning to come back. We have no idea, because Paul always makes plans and then, you know, years later, then he ends up coming back. We don't know how long Timothy ended up being here. I don't know, like, when it was that Paul ended up coming back to Ephesus. Could have been months, probably, you know, 3, 4, 5 months. I don't know exactly, somewhere in that time range. So, this was just a temporary situation. And he's just encouraging Timothy, be intentional as you're in this ministry to ensure these different things are going on. And then he encourages them, and I think this is in the context of worship as he's leading the church and leading the different. Again, the church in Ephesus was house churches. They met in little small groups. They didn't meet and assemble all together. And so as he's encouraging these different groups as they meet to worship, and he's worshiping with them, these different things that need to be going on. He says, give attention to reading of the Word of God. So Paul encourages that as they were coming to worship, making sure that you're investing time in reading the Word of God, exhortation, the giving of the Word, and those things, exhorting, expounding on it, encouraging in the things of that. But it's based, right? It's based on what the Word of God says and applying the Word of God. And then last of all, he says doctrine there. Right? In the doctrine, in the truth, and we've seen this over and over. It's one of the themes, I think, of 1 Timothy is this thought of true doctrine, this truth that is life-changing, that is this focal point of everything, these central truths, these, and systematically instructing and teaching in these things, teaching who God is, teaching who we are, and what our response to God needs to be, teaching His provision of salvation, the gospel, and all how everything surrounds those and is the focal point of everything, right? So Paul just encourages Timothy in that. So it says, yes, there are these unrealistic, unfair expectations. Yes, there are people who are despising you because of your age. Don't worry about it. Right? Don't worry about it. You do what you're supposed to do. You continue on in the ministry doing these things, giving attention to these things. And then he talks about the reality of constant temptation. The reality of constant temptation. In ministry, there is a constant temptation. We see that in verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. So Paul says, do not neglect. What's that mean? It means there's a temptation. Right? There's a temptation to neglect that Timothy was facing. That's why he's encouraging him here. So don't be tempted to neglect the gift. Because there's the temptation to get distracted. There's the temptation to get discouraged. I see those two things here as Paul's talking about that. And so certainly we can get drawn away from what God has within the pastoral ministry. And so he says, don't neglect what God has for you. As God is gifted, you need to be intentional about making sure in ministry you're focusing on that. Here are the strengths. Major on the strengths. Major on what God has called you to do and how God has gifted you. Because it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to run a million different ways. There are certainly way more opportunities than time. There certainly are. And so for the good of the church and for the good of Timothy, Paul's saying here, look, don't get distracted by all these other things. Make sure you're focusing on the purpose that God has for you and what God has called you to and this gift that God has for you within ministry. And then certainly discouragement. Right? People not responding necessarily as they should. Constant demands. Lack of encouragement. Certainly in Timothy's case. Again, I think there were a lot of people there that weren't very happy that Timothy was there. And so just dealing with those things. So there's this temptation. So Paul says, don't neglect the gift. What was the gift? I don't know. But can I say specifically what that gift is? No, but I think it's along the lines of being a pastor and a teacher, of being someone who is a good leader. That Timothy certainly showed signs that he was very gifted in that way. Or Paul wouldn't have left Timothy there. And so certainly this had been divinely revealed and confirmed by God. There was no doubt. And it had then been recognized by Paul and others by the laying on of hands. It wasn't the laying on of hands that gave him the gift. God gave him the gift, but it was being recognized by others. And so Paul says here, you have this calling. You have this calling, Timothy. You have this gift that God is giving you. So minister with confidence and with assurance, knowing that. Yes, there's a temptation to give up. There is. Every Monday morning, right? There is this temptation to do that, and that's constant. Right? That's never in ministry, I can promise you, and having lots of conversations with different pastors, this is a constant temptation. And many pastors give in to it. Many do. And leave the ministry. Right? There is that temptation. So Paul says, no, you can be confident. God has you where you need to be. Don't get distracted. Don't get discouraged in these things. Continue in this. Because it's not about you. Right? It's not about fulfilling you as a pastor. It's about glorifying Christ. It's about doing what He has you to do within the body. And so then Paul gives this advice. Meditate. And this is great advice for all of us. But certainly for a pastor. Meditate. There has to be times of solitude. There has to be times of study. And it has to be intentional. It has to be set aside. There is need for that. And so if we're getting distracted, if we're running 10,000 different ways, and we neglect this, we do so not the good for the body, that's for sure. Not good for the pastor, that's for sure. And yet I know so many pastors, they never take time. Right? There's never any personal study. There's never any time to meditate and to pray and to seek the Lord. And so Paul says this is so important within ministry. And again, I think we all need this. We all need time where we are just taking time alone. This time of solitude. Time of just knowing the Lord, drawing closer to Him. Because you can't minister without that. And again, as I've been emphasizing over and over, we are all ministers of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us have been called to minister for the sake of Christ to those around us. It doesn't matter whatever context, work, school, play, family, friends, we are all in the midst of ministry 24/7. We have all been called to that. And we all need times of meditation and studying the Word of God. You'd be surprised how many pastors do not do personal devotions. I go to pastors' conferences. And this topic comes up every once in a while. And I get it, right? It's busy and there's lots of study to go on. And certainly it's important to take wherever we're at in whatever passage we're preaching through and personally apply it and take it in. It's not about just trying to give it, but making it my own and studying it for that purpose. But also, I think it's important to personally just be studying the word of God and have my own personal devotion time. I think that's so important. And so that's why Paul's encouraging Timothy here. There's constant temptation, so you need to be taking time. There has to be times of meditation. And then he gives this, and this is hard. This is difficult. Give yourself completely over to the ministry God has for you. This is the struggle for every pastor, and I think for all of us, in the midst of what God has for us. Giving ourselves completely over, it is a constant battle. It's a constant struggle, right? Because we are all in the flesh. We all have our sinful natures. We all are prideful. And so this is the struggle. Give yourself completely over to what God has for you. Completely consumed with serving Christ. Serving Christ well. That people would see progress. Right? That people would see progress. And so certainly Paul is encouraging Timothy here. And encouraging Timothy, you are certainly not, you have not arrived spiritually. You're not more spiritual than the people that you are shepherding, for sure. There's progress to be made. No pastor has arrived. I can guarantee you, and I don't know how you measure spirituality, but I know I'm not the most spiritual person here. I don't need to be. I'm just trying to do what God has called me to do and to progress in that as I grow closer to Him. And that's what we should all be doing. We should all be desiring to grow closer to Christ in the ministry that He has for us. And ministry exposes like nothing else. It exposes selfishness. It exposes pride. It promotes growth. And so that's why we are all, right, placed into ministry, because we need that as we grow closer to Christ. And we cannot do ministry on our own. Can't do it on our own. We need the power of Christ in us. We need the Spirit of God in us. And so certainly there is this progress to be made. And I think certainly as a role of a pastor, there is the progress of gentleness and humility and love and those things, for sure. So we see this constant temptation. It's always there. And then last of all, the reality of hope. The reality of hope, verse 16. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So Paul says, take heed to yourself. He's not telling Timothy to be selfish. He's not telling Timothy you need me time, right? It's all about you. You need to focus on you. No, he's not doing that. But he's saying you certainly have to take heed to yourself and being in persevering and in faithfulness, because no one will do it for you. No one's going to do it for you. And we all face that, right? In the Christian walk, yes, we are here to encourage each other. We are here to confront sometimes. And sometimes there's conflict, and sometimes there's dealing with sin, right? But we are here for each other. But at the end of the day, no one can make you walk with Jesus. No one can make you live a life that pleases Jesus Christ. No one else can do that. You have to do that yourself. You have to determine, I am going to glorify Jesus Christ. And so that's why Paul's telling Timothy, you have to make this determination. You have to take heed to yourself in personal holiness. And as you decide to teach and to glorify Christ and all these things in the ministry that God has for you, right, you have to determine, I'm going to do this. You have to be disciplined in this. And if you continue in it, and that's encouragement, if you continue in it, there is great hope. There's great hope. Now he uses the word salvation. And he's not talking about eternal salvation here. Now, in the context of ministry, certainly we have the application of ministering and giving truth, truth that leads to salvation, truth that leads to people accepting what is true and becoming saved and born again. Right? That's part of ministry. That's the purpose. Right? That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to accomplish, is people growing closer to Christ, teaching what is true, that people would accept Christ. Right? That certainly is true. But in the context here, it's talking about hope within the ministry of, in the context of ministry, of not being destroyed. Right? Not being destroyed in the ministry. Not becoming bitter in the midst of ministry. I've had conversations with several different pastors. There was a pastor I knew. He'd been in a church, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And they dismissed him. After about 30 years, they decided they wanted to go. Church was like, you know what? We're ready for a new pastor. And I had lunch with this guy. He took me out to lunch. And it was a church that supported us when we were at Frontier at this Bible school. And they supported us when we were in Africa. So I knew him and I knew the church. I actually had family that was in that church, so I kind of knew what was going on both ways. But he was so hurt, right? He was so bitter. He was so disillusioned because he had given his heart and soul, and he wasn't a bad pastor. He'd given his heart and soul to the ministry and to this church, and he had the wrong expectations, right? He had the wrong expectations. Church didn't know him anything, right? They were fine making that decision. That was up to them. They get to decide that. But he had this expectation that they owed him or something like that. I don't know. And it led to bitterness. But if we keep to what God has for us, right? That's what's important. That's why we serve. We had an elderly couple that came to church here. Well, 4 or 5 years ago. It was just for a summer. They were here for a summer. He came and talked to me. And he was like, I used to be a pastor. And I don't know what happened. He didn't tell me what happened. But whatever happened, it was bad. And he was very bitter. Very bitter about what had happened at that church. Sounded like he had served there a long time. Something blew up. I don't know what. There was conflict. There were issues. And he just wanted to let me know that's where they were at. They were trying to sell their house here in Three Forks. They'd been somewhere else, but they had a house here. I don't know what the whole they were just selling that, and then they were leaving. I was like, well, I hope that as you are here, you can heal. I hope as you are here that you are able to just rest. I have no expectations, just that you are able to rest. That was my hope, prayer for them for sure. But it takes its toll. Ministry takes a toll. It does. But we don't minister in our own strength. We minister in the strength of Jesus Christ. And that's the encouragement. And as Paul says here, to encourage, to rebuke, that's the ministry of the pastor. And so he says here to continue in what is true, that which certainly redeems and that which is eternal. And it's that, again, that thought of salvation. Yes, that hope. Hope in the midst of ministry. If we continue in things, there's hope. But there's also this truth that redeems. And there is a hope that we are leading people towards eternal salvation. That we're leading people towards an intimate and wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. That there is progress, that there is change, that God is working through each of us. That's the hope, that's the desire. But as we look at this passage and we think on these things, certainly I understand there are bad pastors. There are. And I feel bad for churches that get stuck in those situations. And we as a church, we instituted this a few years ago. And I wanted to do this just for the protection of the church, is the leaders of this church meet once a year, and they can meet whenever they want, but they intentionally meet once a year without me, without the pastor, so that they can talk about me, and they can say whatever they want. Whatever needs to be said. They get to communicate among themselves without me being there, because that's always awkward, right? And decide, right? Do we want to keep the pastor or are we ready for something different? I always kind of expect them to get rid of me every year, but no, not really. I'm teasing. My expectation is to be here as long as the Lord has me. But I want the church to grow and I want the church to be strong, right? And I want the church protected and I want good leaders that are protecting the church. That's what I want. And so I understand, right? There are pastors that are not good. And again, we kind of come back to this. Who shepherds the pastor? Right? Who shepherds the pastor? And first and foremost, it's the Spirit of God. It has to be. And that's in all of our lives. It is the Spirit of God. Using the Word of God. And certainly as a church, we shepherd and we pastor each other. And certainly I seek counsel and relationships outside the church with other pastors. And I do have that, but certainly within this church, right, we are here to encourage and be here for each other. And just personally, since I have opportunity here, like what, as personally as a pastor, what is the hardest part of ministry? It is my own pride and my own selfishness. By far, number one. By far. That is number one. That is the hardest part. Certainly within that, then, second, long distance second, it's people's unspoken expectations. So I'm a people pleaser. I am. Right? And it's hard when I hear expectations, especially when they're unfair expectations, because I want to please. I want people to be happy. I want to please other people. And yet it comes kind of back to what Paul tells Timothy here. Continue on in what you know you're supposed to be doing. Encouraging. And the problem with trying to fulfill other people's expectations is that nobody's happy. Because now this person's happy and this person's, well, why are you doing that? Right? So it's about fulfilling God's expectations and glorifying Him. And I understand my strengths, as God has gifted me, is certainly preaching and teaching. That's my passion. That's what I love to do. I am not a social butterfly. Surprise, right? You all know me. You know me. Right, I'm not the social butterfly, and that's okay. That's okay. But I love seeing as this church connects with each other, as people minister to each other. I love organic ministry. I know we have those ministries that we intentionally have, and we have those programs that are set up and organized, but I love it when it's just organic and things people minister to each other. I love that. And that's what I encourage, and that's what I hope goes on. That's what I encourage to go on within church, because I think that strengthens the church. Again, we'll talk about these things more in chapter 5, because chapter 5 is all about relationships. Right? How is it the church needs to be working? As we minister to each other, as we have relate to each other, what does that need to look like? We'll see that in chapter 5. We'll talk about that more next week. But I love seeing the church connect as you guys connect with each other. But again, it comes back to what's the point? What's the point? Certainly, we're here as a church to worship God. And we are here to encourage each other as we grow closer to Jesus Christ. And we assemble because God's called us to assemble. And God has placed different men in leadership because you have to have leadership, you have to have organization. And there are men that God has called to be pastors to lead within that and to be those who teach because that's so important. But this morning we have to come back to that relationship. And where's your relationship at with Jesus Christ? Right? Where's your relationship at with Jesus Christ? And I hope as you come here that you are being encouraged in your relationship with Christ. And I hope this morning as you have come that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But again, we need that truth that certainly we have all sinned. We have all been separated from God. And you need to accept God's provision of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. We all need that. And then as we grow in that, as we grow in what Christ is doing in our lives, right, we grow closer to Him. And He starts working on all that ickiness and all that selfishness and all that pride. And it's hard, but it is good. And that's why we need the church. And that's why we are here. And so just as we think of the church and we think of a pastor, and I don't know what your expectations of the pastor are. I know we come from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different ways that people do church and different things. But just set on what God's expectations are and what God would have within the church and trying to conform our expectations to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You. We thank You, O Lord, for the church. We thank You, O Lord, that You have not called us to ministry alone. You have not called us to be lights in this world without having the church, the assembly that is gathered here together to encourage each other, to teach each other, to correct each other. We need each other, Lord. And so we pray that as we go out this week, as we minister in the different areas and different places that You have us, that certainly we would draw closer to You and certainly we would be a light for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now,